Hi, I'm Samantha.
And I'm Julie.
And this is Stick to Tape.
Yes,
this
it
is
is.
Episode 50.
That's so many episodes.
It's episode 50. Call it a comeback.
And it's only called that because My Chemical Romance is back.
That is incorrect. It's called that because Comeback Wins are back.
No, but My Chemical Romance is also back.
Okay.
I've made my full transition into a sports goth, because I wore my My Chemical Romance shirt to a game last night.
Okay, nerd.
I can't wait to tell you all about it.
About the game or the shirt?
The game.
Okay.
Anyways, we'll talk about it. You've got notes about it, so.
I do have notes about comebacks, because the NHL PR account tweeted out their October hockey wrap-up. Also, the NHL.com is, like, on my computer, if I click on any links, I can't get anywhere. It's, like, Bet Gateway or whatever. Like, if I'm looking at scores and I click on a name because it says won by it and I want to see, hey, is it a new kid or is it somebody I just don't know? It'll be like, no, we can't show you that. And then I click it on my phone and I can find it perfectly. It's so fucking annoying. Anyway, all this to say, I saw the recap. I didn't actually look at it because when I clicked on it, it didn't go anywhere. So there were 90 comeback wins in the month of October, which is the
games.
There are like 100, there are almost 200 games in the month of October.
Wow.
There are 1,270 games in a season. Okay, so, like, we have plenty to go. There were 90 comeback wins in October, which is the third most after there were 92 in the 86-87 season and 98 in 05-06. There were 31 multi-goal comeback wins, which is tied for first with the 86-87 season. And this is the, like, comebacks are truly, this is truly happening. There were 15 multi-goal comebacks in the third, which is the first in history.
Oh, my God.
So, it's truly never over until it's over.
I felt that.
Ryan Gosling in The Notebook. It wasn't over. It still isn't over. Just until, like, the very end of the... There were also, I think there were, like... Don't quote me on this, but I think there have been, like, three tying goals in the last minute of the period, of the third. So, like, it's truly never over until it's over.
I felt like that last night because, like, Columbus put a whole bunch of shots on net. Like, a whole bunch.
Yeah.
But, like, it... Like, people were leaving, like, 5 minutes before the end of the game. And I was like, why would you leave? Like, they've put so many shots on net. Like, don't you want to... Like,
it literally
watch
just...
it happen? But then it didn't.
That would have been quite a comeback. Because they were... Weren't they... They were down... 3-0?
No, it was 2-0. Yeah. It was, like, 2-0. And then... they pulled Corpusello in the third, at 3 minutes left, and then Matt Tkachuk scored, like, immediately. So then he had to play out the last 2 minutes.
Oh, your kid scored. That's nice.
He did. He was, you know, the only, like, I noticed, like, I didn't notice a single Columbus Blue Jacket last night, honestly. Like, I didn't
Who's on that team?
Gus Nyquist, he's probably the only one I really truly noticed. Like, Cam Atkinson was invisible. Josh Anderson every once in a while. But, like, I didn't notice any Blue Jackets. But I did notice, like, Andrew Mangiapane. Like, noticed him, like, from the Flames. I noticed him a lot.
Right.
And I noticed Johnny Gaudreau just a little bit. Like, not... Oh, super a lot. He wasn't doing a whole bunch. He did, like, I think he has an assist or something. I noticed him.
Yeah.
Mostly, I noticed Big Save Dave. Dave Riddich was amazing last night. He was absolutely incredible.
You know who else played fucking lights out yesterday in a game yesterday? Mike Smith.
Oh, God. I did not watch that. I was driving.
I watched that. That was the Penguins against the... Oh, my God. What team were they?
The Oilers.
Thank you. The Penguins against... I literally, like, planned my day around getting to see Crosby and McDavid. I just completely forgot about it. It was the Penguins and the Oilers. And the last time the Penguins saw Mike Smith, they chased him in Calgary last year when they scored that 9 spot.
Oh, yeah.
And last night they put 52 shots on goal.
Oh my God.
And they got one goal.
That's from Brian Dumoulin.
From Brian Dumoulin. A shorty.
That's incredible.
A shorthanded tying goal from Brian Dumoulin.
That's my guy.
It was Brian Rust. It was Brian Dumoulin from Brian Rust.
I had been listening to that on the radio as I was driving to Columbus, and then I got upset and I just turned it off. And then Brian Dumoulin scored like 10 minutes later. I was like, oh, okay.
The overtime period was so fast and so good, and I very much enjoyed it. Except for the fact that I was also literally dying. My heart is too much for my heart.
I understand. I don't. OT makes me so nervous. I really don't like it.
It's not even like a. It's not even. Oh my God. Why watch playoff overtime hockey when you can just snort cocaine while jumping out of a helicopter? It's not even a playoff game. It's still got a point. The point streak against Edmonton lives. It's like 17-0-4. Or 13-0-4. I think it's 13-0-4.
Yeah. 14. It ruined my favorite stat, though.
What was your favorite stat?
That Crosby never lost to McDavid.
That's true. But Crosby has never lost to McDavid in regulation.
I'll take it.
Also, it's not like McDavid did anything. He tried. He didn't actually do anything.
Oh, boy.
It was a really cute face he made.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear about another fun OT period?
Yeah.
The Arizona-Buffalo game earlier this week, which I watched because I'm Buffalo. I'm fully a Buffalo fan. I don't know if you guys know this.
Is that true?
Buffalo Sabres are winning the cup. they went to OT, tied at 2, and they lost in the shootout. But it was the second time this season that a full OT period was played without any stoppages. There were no stoppages. It was just full. It was 5 full minutes of back and forth hockey, and it was incredible. And everybody was so good. And Darcy Kuemper is very good. It was that game, and then it was apparently Edmonton at New Jersey on the 10th was the other time this season that that's happened. Hmm. And it's incredible when that happens, and it's so fun. And they should make overtime 10 minutes long because shootouts are so fucking boring.
Yeah. Oh my God. The Leafs went to an 11 round shootout last night.
I know, with only like 2 goals.
11 rounds of a shootout, and which is like the longest since like 2013, I believe. It's the longest in Leafs history for shootouts.
Well, yeah, but shootouts haven't been around that long.
But still.
I know. But also, the thing about shootouts is that I watch everything on, like, because I don't have cable, so I watch everything on delay. And a shootout, you can't watch it and be on the internet at the same time.
No, you really can't.
You can only watch it on the internet. It's so much faster. Yeah. And it's very obnoxious. You know what's better is watching 10 minutes of hockey.
Yeah.
Extra hockey.
Yeah.
Free hockey. Also, I've been to a shootout, and they're not fun.
They're boring. I saw the Stars go to a shootout in Columbus last year.
I saw the Blue Jackets go to a shootout in Detroit the first year I was here, and it was incredibly boring because neither of those teams were very good.
It's probably true. I just remembered, we called this episode about comebacks, and we didn't talk about one of the greatest comebacks this year, which was the Dallas Stars against the Minnesota Wild. Because the Stars put up 5 goals in the third period.
It was 5 goals in the last 21, so it was 4 in the third.
No, it was 5. I just looked.
It was 6 in the last 21?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were down 3-0.
They were down 3-0, and then they came back with 6 unanswered goals to win the game.
And an Alexander Radulov hat trick.
Yes. Which may or may not have been his first. I think it was his second, actually.
It was his second.
Yeah. So anyways, it was fabulous. And I loved
everything. He's won last year. I was asleep because it was a late game. And I think I woke up at, 1 o'clock and, checked my phone. And I thought that I saw a hat trick, but I didn't really remember. And then I woke up again at 7, and I was like, wait a second. Did I dream this? I think I texted you. I was like, did I dream his hat trick? I did not dream his hat trick. And they won a game. And they've won, 7 of 8. And right now they're on a 3-win streak, I think.
Yes.
They are currently
3 points out of the playoff spot.
3 points out of the playoff spot.
They are. They're 3 points out of the wild card, but 3 points out of last place in the Central.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What the hell? Oh, my God. It's so weird.
Are you impressed that I had that right lined up in my head? Because I did look. Mm-hmm. Despite the fact that I had 0 notes for this, I did do a little looking at standings before I came into it. So, you're welcome.
I'm looking in standings.
I know you do. Yeah. I was nervous when I looked at it. I was like, oh God, I don't want to see what all this has to say. But, now I know. What's next? What are we going to talk about?
I don't know. Oh, you were at the Flames game last night. We can talk about the first DOPS, Department of Player Safety suspension this year.
Both of these involve the Flames.
Oh, yay!
So, Adam Lowry got the first DOPS suspension of the season. 2 games for boarding Calgary's Oscar Shillington. And
that is how you pronounce that?
Correct.
It's spelled Kylington.
Yes, but it's pronounced Shillington. He's a Swede. I don't know if that's how Swedish works, but that's how you say his name. Consequently, I did notice him a lot last night because I was like, oh, it's Shillington, but only because his name is spelled weird.
That's fair.
Yeah. And then the second hearing of the season, we think might be Monday, is for Milan Lucic, who sucker punched Cole Sherwood in the face. Barely a reason. I've watched it a couple times now, and so basically what happened was Cole Sherwood, a New Albany, Ohio native, who I love. I love him and his brother Kiefer, who's a duck. They're very, very cute boys, but and they're Ohio natives, which is very important to me. Just like Jack Roslovic. But, no, it's cool because Cole Sherwood, he grew up in New Albany, which is, almost like a suburb of Columbus, and he's playing for the Columbus Blue Jackets. I think that's pretty cool.
For as much as I hate
the Columbus Blue Jackets. It's really cool. So, Yeah, so basically what happens is he picks Lucic's pocket on the boards, because I swear to God, like, Milan Lucic's hulking carcass, like, sent me yesterday. Like, he is so bulky and so slow. Like, I noticed him a lot just because he sucks. Yeah. And so at one point, like, he was genuinely just standing by the boards, like, by his bench, just standing there. And I was like, get off the ice. Like, get off. Like, because he started moving in. It was during the second period, so it was, like, a long change. And he was, like, moving back in. And I was just like, just get off the ice. Like, he literally just was full stop standing there for a couple of seconds. And I was like, why? Anyways, he gets his pocket picked. And then it was in the second. So he gets his pocket picked. And then he goes down the ice towards Cole. Like, Cole Sherwood picks his pocket, goes down. And it was like a, I don't know. It was just one on, it was like a one on three. Like, he was going in, but he had three guys behind him. And David Rittich was standing on his freaking head. And Rittich covers the puck, and, like, I guess Sherwood just kind of jabs him a little bit. Like, it wasn't, like, a full spear or anything, but, like, I didn't think it was. Like, I've watched it a couple times, and I can't see where he does a whole heck of a lot more than just kind of give him a little business with a stick. And then Milan Lucic just comes in and full-on suckers him right in the face. He goes down, and there's a huge pile-up and all that fun stuff. And, like, obviously the fans were pissed. It was 1-0 at this point. Like, it was, like, I was like,
yeah,
good job, Milan. Like, oh my God. So I think Sherwood ended up bleeding. Lucic got a double minor. And, like, it was, he was in the box and so was Matt Tkachuk, because Matt must not kill penalties.
Yeah. Well, he takes a lot of them, so.
I know. I was like, because I tweeted about it. I was like, he is a sinner, but he has yet to sin in this game. Like, he did nothing wrong. And it was so wild. Like, I don't know. The Blue Jackets fans were hard-pressed, I guess. Probably because they'd lost the night before in St. Louis. So, they were hard-pressed. Like, as soon as Matt came out of the box, they started booing. I was like, he didn't even do anything. And they were, like, booing, and I was like, oh, God. So, he came out, and then, like, I don't know, some guys scored. I don't even remember. I looked it up, and now I don't remember who it was. Oh, that's funny.
I saw somebody who, in the past, has said how much they like Tom Wilson say that Milan Lucic should not be playing hockey, which is true, but, like, that's not why.
Yeah. Like, and Milan Lucic shouldn't play hockey because he's bad at it.
He's, like, very bad at it.
He's really bad. Like, I could not help but notice how incredibly slow he was, and just how, but his penalties weren't detrimental. Like,
oh, that's good.
Let me see. The Blue Jackets put 43 shots on net.
My God.
And did not score a goal, and the Flames scored one in the first, one in the second, and one in the third. Nice. With 29 shots on goal. And somehow, friends, Jonas Korpisalo was the third star of the game.
What is that save percentage?
I was like, why?
That's an 896 save percentage.
No, it says 929.
How?
I don't
know. How many shots did they put on?
29. One was an empty net goal. So okay. He would have made 20. He made 26 saves on 28 shots.
Yeah. All right, that's 929.
But still, I guess that makes it him. But I don't think he should have been third star of the game, but whatever.
I don't think you can get third star. I didn't think you could get third star of the game when you make, when your team loses.
Yeah, it was weird. It was, who were the, oh, David Rittich, which is the first star, Sean Monahan, second star, Jonas Korpisalo was the third, and I was like, how? Like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, why? But I guess he had to be because nobody else did anything. Not at all.
I mean, usually when you're shut out, even the local reporters are like, no, you know what? No one from Columbus deserves a star.
Yeah. The real third star of that game was Milan Lucic, just for surviving. I'm so funny. Oh, my God. Anyways. I kept noticing Noah Hanifin last night, too. I was excited. I was like, Noah Hanifin, he's so cute. And obviously, Matt Tkachuk, because that's my kid.
That's your kid.
I know. He did get in a little tussle, and I was like, that's my kid. And the girl next to me, can I talk about her?
Yes.
Oh, my God. So the girl next to me was real, like, I couldn't discern whomst amongst her and her man were, like, the bigger fan.
Yeah.
I think it was her, but, like, he knew more about other stuff. Like, because he knew about Matt Tkachuk and Drew Doughty, but then she was explaining penalties to him. So, I don't know which amongst them knew more, but let me tell you about how they annoyed the shit out of me.
Maybe he just thinks hockey players are hot. And that's the only reason he watches the game, and she knows how to play the game.
Yeah. But, like, because they were both, like, we were in the upper level, so the seats are not, like, there's not a lot of space. And we were all kind of, I'm a big person, and she wasn't bigger. She was, like, smaller than me, but not thin.
Yeah.
And he was a big guy, too. And so, like, he had his arm around her, and instead of, like, clapping, like, he would, like, tap on her shoulder to clap. And it annoyed the crap out of me. I was like, sir! Like, stop that. She deserves better. And, oh my God, they were super annoying. Like, anyway, so there's apparently a Stinger, the Columbus Blue Jackets, like, mascot. There is a cameo of him on what sitcom? And, like, it was a thing. And it was King of Queens, because King of Queens is set in Cleveland. And I being... trying to
King
be funny.
King of Queens is not set in Cleveland.
Okay, well.
King of Queens is set in Queens.
Yeah, never mind. I don't. Is it filmed in Cleveland?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, I don't know why Stinger is on the refrigerator in there. But anyways.
They may be from Cleveland or something.
Maybe. I don't know. Anyways, Stinger was on there. And I was being funny to myself and to my friend, and I was like, who the hell would know that? Meaning, who the hell watches King of Queens?
Yeah.
And she was like, well, it's a Cleveland show. And I was like, okay. I was like, no. I was like, no one watches that. No one would ever fucking know that. Anyways, I was trying to be funny, and she was not picking up what I was laying down, basically, is what I'm saying. And that's ridiculous, because I'm hilarious. Anyway, later they were talking about face-offs and cheating, and I told you this last night, but I'm repeating it for the podcast.
Yeah.
She was talking about, like, cheaters and face-offs, and she's like, Sidney Crosby should be thrown out of every face-off. And I'm like, I'm sitting there, and first off, I'm a defensive Sid wife. So I'm like, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. And also, he learned it from Jonathan Toews.
He learned it from Jonathan Toews, who has said, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, if you think Sid, like, you are seriously deluded about hockey if you think Sidney Crosby is the only center who cheats at a face-off.
They all cheat at face-offs.
They all cheat at face-offs. Like, they all cheat at face-offs. So I was super annoyed with her after that. Like, oh, but, oh my God. If you heard that, that was genuinely my house line ringing.
I didn't hear it.
Oh, okay. Well, I heard it.
I don't understand.
What?
I'm sorry, I had to look up King of Queens. It has nothing to do with Cleveland.
Okay, well, there's a Stinger. Well, then, I told you, that girl next to me is an idiot.
The Drew Carey show is from Cleveland.
Maybe that's what she was thinking of. Who knows?
The King of Queens is set in Queens!
Okay, again, how would I know? Because who the hell watches King of Queens?
My mom used to. I've seen a lot of episodes.
Did you see Stinger? He's on their refrigerator.
I was way before I got into hockey.
Okay, well, he was on the refrigerator.
All right.
Anyway. Whatever she did pales in comparison to the guy behind me.
Oh, God.
Because it was his first hockey game.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. So, my guy behind me, who, they pulled my hair at once, and it really hurt. I think they just stepped on it. Like, I think it just must have been back too far, and it caught. But they did pull my hair. It was their first hockey game, or one of them's first hockey game. And he was, like, trying to play by football rules.
Oh, God.
And he's like, why don't they just run the goalie? I'm like, you can't do that! Like, oh my God, you saw what happened when the guy touched the other guy's goalie. He literally tried to punch his face off. Oh God, they were so annoying. Like, he was like, kept talking about breaking people's collarbones and hitting people with sticks. And I'm like, I know that this is your first game, but you are so annoying. And that's why cis men should not be allowed to go to hockey games.
It's very true. Ever. I agree.
But yeah, so, also, I have a beef with their popcorn.
Yeah?
Because it's real salty, but, like, some parts of it are really sweet, and I don't know what the hell that is.
It's very weird.
It was super weird, like, because it would be nice and salty, and then it would just have, like, this, like, kind of sweet, almost, like, kettle corny aftertaste. And I'm like, why? I was like, what have you done here? So, I was very disappointed in the flavor and freshness of the popcorn at Nationwide Arena last night. But they do have cheaper souvenir cups than Pittsburgh, that's for sure.
They have less fans.
They don't have player cups either.
Don't worry. That's dumb.
I gave it away. I gave it to my friend to take home because she is a Blue Jackets fan, so... I had fun, though. It was great. Watching the Calgary Flames, like, beat the Columbus Blue Jackets and not hearing the fucking cannon once.
Well, that's incredible.
They let it off at the beginning of the game, but that's it. Not hearing it after that. I heard it one time. And the thing was, is that where I had gotten seats, because when I went to see the Stars, I sat in row B of the upper deck. And I really like those seats, because I think they're great, because you only have one row of people in front of you, and then, like... But you can see basically the whole ice. So where I'd sat us, we were literally sitting, like, just catty corner from...
The cannon?
From the cannon, yeah. So it would have been really cool to see it, like, get lit off a couple of times. But we didn't, because they didn't score.
You know, that reminds me, you know what would be really fun to see would be the Preds get shut out at home, because you wouldn't have to hear that goal chant. Because it's fucking terrible.
I hate the Nashville Predators. They're, like, that's the worst games I've ever been to.
I know.
Because at least, like, I think the cannon is charming. I like it. I think it's great. I like it, but everything that the Preds do, I hate.
They chant, "Hey, you suck!"
Yeah, I don't like
during
that.
During their goal song.
I don't like that. I think that's rude.
And then as soon after, right after the goal song is over, they goalie chant.
Yeah. Nobody goalie chanted last night.
That's good. I hate goalie chanting.
Oh, another thing. There were a whole bunch of red shirts there.
Ew.
There were a whole bunch of Calgary fans at the game.
Oh, okay.
And I was like...
You gotta specify that.
Do the Flames really travel that well? And then I looked it up. Because I thought they kept cheering when, like, Giordano got the puck.
Yeah.
And I was like, where's he from? So I looked it up. He's from Toronto. So I'm wondering if, like, the Giordanos just took a weekend trip to Columbus because it was a Saturday and they could.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe the Flames just travel really well, but I've seen the Flames play in Columbus before, and I didn't see that many red shirts. So I was wondering if maybe, like, it was, like, a family trip because it's so close. Like, Toronto to Columbus would probably be, like, five or six.
Yeah.
So, I mean, because Toronto's, like, 7 hours from me, and I'm about an hour from Columbus, so... Anyway.
I don't know, bud. All right.
If that's true, it was really cute. If it wasn't, maybe I guess Flames fans just travel really well.
Maybe it's just a local Giordano fan club.
You know what? I hope so.
And it's the one time of year they get to go.
They get to go. Yeah. It was cute. I loved it. And I was excited to be there. It was nice to just go to a game where I didn't, like, my happiness did not depend on the outcome. Or the outcome. Yeah. It was nice to go to, I would like to go to more of those, because those are nice.
I'm doing that on Friday.
Oh, yeah? Oh, is that the Bruins game?
Yeah, the Bruins at the Red Wings. I don't really, sorry, I just dropped my microphone. I don't really
of the Bruins, care about the outcome. Speaking of, like, game experiences and somehow tying this into the Bruins. So last night, I was super excited because I got to hear my favorite national anthem banger, O Canada.
Yeah.
And I was excited to sing O Canada, to be honest. Anyways.
Yeah.
While I'm singing, or we're doing the anthems, my butt is just, like, vibrating like crazy. My phone's in my pocket. I'm like, what the hell is going on? So, I was like, maybe, like, I thought maybe you guys were texting the group chat.
Yeah.
You and friend of the pod, Sarah. But no, right. It wasn't you guys. It was 4 game start notifications from the NHL app.
All at the same time, because you followed too many teams.
I do. So, I got Ottawa's, the Flames game that I was at, Dallas, and somebody else played. What's the other one that I follow?
I don't know. What's the Ducks?
No, I don't follow the Ducks. The Leafs. The Leafs.
Oh, right.
They all started at the same time.
Yeah, they all started at 7. Yeah.
They all started at 7. So I got them all at the same time. And I was like, oh, my God. And then, like, through the night, I kept getting notifications. And at one point, I was like, the Senators tied the Bruins. And then everything went to hell in that Bruins game. Because that's when, because Sabrin, Sabrin hit Backes hard and, like, smashed his face off the ice and, like, they took him to the hospital and were like, his extremities are moving. But then David Backes got hit so hard that he was visibly shaken up by what happened and, like, didn't come back to the game.
Oof.
So that happened last night, but Scott Sabrin, like, thumbs up on the ice. And I don't know if you saw anything about this, but, like, all the Senators players and all of the Bruins players came off the bench because, like, Sabrin was taken off the ice on a stretcher.
Yeah.
And they all came off the bench to give him stick taps. And then he gave a thumbs up on the way out. So he was, like, they said he was conscious through everything, and conscious at the hospital. So, thank God. Funny. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't, like, he's not fully, like, something really bad didn't happen, but it looked bad. I don't know if you've seen it, but it looks bad. But
I saw the players on the ice, and then I heard about the stretcher and how his extremities are, his full use of his extremities, or that they're moving. I did not see it, and I did not search it out.
Yeah, it's kind of rough to watch. It's because I watched it there because I was checking in intermission. Yeah. Like, I was looking at my phone and I was checking, like, tweets, and I saw that something bad had happened. So I was like, holy smokes.
Yeah. We hope he's okay. This is his first, like, NHL season.
Yeah. Like, he worked his ass off to get there, and
yeah,
it's like the last thing you want to happen.
He scored his first goal in the first game of the season this year.
Speaking of bad things that happened last night.
Oh. Can
you talk about the girl with the mayonnaise? Where the fuck did she get that?
Costco.
Okay, but how did she get it into the arena?
Because,
like,
there's, like, no outside food and drink allowed, and it's too big to get into, it's too big to put into her purse.
Okay, so for anybody that doesn't know, this Cavs fan. Did she
steal it from a concession stand?
That's the only thing I can think of, but she brought a spoon?
She knew she was going to steal a giant jar of mayonnaise from the AAC.
I don't know. I was like, how did she get this in there? Like, it was, okay, so it is a full, large, I wonder if she did steal it from the stand. Like, do they have those out there? I've never been there, so I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure that they. I don't know. I didn't.
Or did she? Like,
I don't think
put
I've
it,
ever gotten food at the AAC.
Did she put it under her shirt on the way in so she would have it?
And just tell everyone she's pregnant. Like, it's a giant jar. It looks like something you would buy at Costco.
Yeah.
Of and mayonnaise. Then she of just almonds.
Like genuinely like. Eating spoonfuls of mayonnaise. Like, the guy she was with was eating fries with mayonnaise, which is completely valid.
Tasty, that's fine.
Lovely. I enjoy fries with mayonnaise.
Yeah.
But my girl was...
But
my homegirl was, like,
eating
a spoonful of mayonnaise, which I'm...
Like, a heaping spoonful. Like, a big spoonful of mayonnaise.
Like it was pudding.
Yeah.
I...
Except it was mayonnaise.
What? Where the hell did she get it? I can't. What? Can you imagine being the person, like, looking at the concessions and being like, where did my mayonnaise go? How do you do... But then, she knew she was gonna steal the mayonnaise, so she brought a spoon?
Yeah, it wasn't a plastic spoon, it was a metal spoon.
It wasn't even like a regular spoon like you would use to eat cereal. It was literally your mayonnaise scoop and spoon.
Maybe she just keeps it in her purse at all times for whenever she manages to steal enough mayonnaise.
You know what? I respect it. It's so weird. Where did she get it? I don't know. I hope someone finds out. I hope that someone tracks her down and is like, where did you get this mayonnaise?
That was at the Stars Habs game, by the way.
Yeah. And it was so funny, too, because they put them up on the video board. Like, someone noticed to put them up on the video board, and the guy was like, yeah, look at my Habs jersey. And she was like, I'm going to eat some mayonnaise. Like, what? I respect her so much. I respect you, mayonnaise girl. I do.
Yeah, there was the Dallas Stars Twitter. Put it on their Twitter.
What did they say? Did they say tonight in sports or something like that? Or
yeah.
I'm like, I mean, same, but also what? Oh God, I love it. I love it. I don't even know.
Anyway.
Sorry, I just wanted to talk about mayonnaise girl.
I know, that's good. I'm glad we did. I'm glad we talked about mayonnaise girl.
I didn't bring any notes to this, but I did bring mayonnaise girl. So.
Okay. Let's switch tactics.
Okay.
Nice segue. What?
Nice segue.
Thanks. I'm incredible. Segues are for kids. Okay, so we tweeted on our podcast Twitter. We retweeted. I think it was the Canucks because one of their prospects, Nils Höglander, former best name in hockey, scored what is known as the Michigan goal for the Swedish Hockey League. It is a lacrosse style goal where they put the puck on their stick and then wrap it around and knock it into the goal. It is incredible. And it's named after some dude who did it in an NCAA game in 1996. he's playing for Michigan. If you Google Michigan goal, his name comes up, and it's like, he's best known as the guy who did this. It has never been done in the NHL until the exact same day that the Nils Höglander goal was burning up the internet. Andrei Svechnikov in the Carolina Hurricanes game scored a Michigan goal. The first one in the NHL in a... In a 2-1 win against the Flames.
This is a real Flames heavy episode.
It sure is. And it is incredible to watch. Oh, he scored the only two goals in a game. I think they called it a wrist shot. He got first star of the game that game.
That's the farthest thing from a wrist shot, by the way. He like puts it. He puts it on his stick and just like reaches around the goal and dumps it in. That's what he did.
Yeah, that's incredible. It's incredible. It's so cool. It's the first time that's happened in the NHL.
So how long until the NHL outlaws it?
One year. The Board of Governors is meeting this year is literally just gonna all be about the fucking Michigan goal. We can't have this. It's too much fun.
Yep, I expressed that last night too.
It was incredible, and I think that everybody should try that this year. Where's John Tavares? Because his uncle plays lacrosse, so I'm sure he knows how to score lacrosse.
Speaking of John Tavares' uncle that plays lacrosse, did you know he's coaching now? He's coaching the Buffalo box lacrosse team.
I don't keep tabs on JT's uncle.
You mean JT's uncle JT? But yeah, he's like the head coach of the Buffalo, whatever their name is. Buffalo Bandits, maybe? I don't know. But he's now their head coach. So, you're welcome, lacrosse fans.
I'm sure we have a lot of lacrosse fans who listen to our podcast. Just for the few times where we mention John Tavares' uncle.
John Tavares' uncle plays lacrosse.
A dumb thing to know.
Blessed.
I'm sorry, I can't stop laughing. Okay, there were two trades and there were two signings this week. The Chicago Blackhawks traded Brendan Perlini to the Detroit Red Wings for an AHL player because Brendan Perlini was like, hey, what the fuck? You guys gotta let me play. And they were like, no, bye. And they sent him to Detroit, and I hope he gets to play in Detroit. He was part of the Dylan Strome trade last year, and he did well last year, but they have stopped playing him, so they sent him away. And the Tampa Bay Lightning traded, how do you pronounce his name?
Louis Domingue.
Louis Domingue. I always want to put an extra syllable on that. Mm-hmm. To New Jersey for a conditional 7th in the 2021 draft. And the condition is like if he plays 7 games this season or if he plays one playoff game. Okay. Or if he gets traded before the 2020 draft, they get a 7th. And if he doesn't do any of that, they don't get anything. Mm. So they just want get rid of him.
Well, yeah, they got Curtis McElhinney.
Yeah, that's true. What happens if one of their goalies gets injured? I don't know.
Okay, so one of the Jersey Devils is Corey Schneider, so that's definitely going to happen.
No, I meant one of the Bolts goalies gets injured.
Oh, they're fine. They'll be all right. Actually, they're not doing great. Which is,
they're like middling.
I love it.
It's like they're currently 3 points out of a wild card spot.
Yeah, they'll be fine. It's Tampa.
And 4 points out of the last spot in the Atlantic. You know who currently has the last spot in the Atlantic?
The Buffalo Sabres?
Florida.
Where's Buffalo? Are they at the top?
Buffalo is 2nd in the Atlantic.
Who's the top?
Boston.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Boston.
Boston has 22 points in 13 games, and Buffalo has 20 points in 15 games. Buffalo was the first team to get to 20 points this season. Mm-hmm. Washington also got 20 points the same night, I think, or the next night, but Buffalo was the first one. Okay. And now they are currently in a 3-game skid. And they lost last night to the Islanders.
Speaking of skids, the Islanders are
9-game win streak.
That's disgusting.
It is disgusting. Who is skidding? What?
The San Jose Sharks.
Ooh, really?
Lose 5. They're at the very bottom of the Pacific. I'm going to say no, they're not okay.
Oh, boy, 9 points in 15 games.
Yeah. They're not great.
Ouch, David.
I only know this because I was looking up what the Kings, how the Kings are doing. The Kings are 3-7-0 in their last 10.
They won against the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yes.
Drew Doughty scored with 17 seconds left in overtime after Jonathan Toews sent it to overtime with only his second goal of the season. Jonathan Toews is having a bad season, and it's right after his best season. It's very sad for me personally.
It's October. Maybe he's going to pick up. Well, it's November now.
Last year in October, he was on 164 goal pace.
Yeah, I remember that.
I do as well.
Because you had a lot of...
I had a couple of Johnny Toews meltdowns. It's fine.
You were like, Jonathan Toews is going to win the Art Ross.
I did say that more than once.
Yeah, but I love you for it, so it's good. All right, we should probably keep rolling because we've been talking for a really long time. The Preds signed...
I don't have it open. Hold on.
No, it's Roman Josi and Austin Watson.
I know, but I was going to get, like, Dietz.
Oh.
Dietz! They're bad contracts. Fuck Austin Watson. Yeah.
Speaking of Austin Watson, like, when they were talking about it on the NHL radio, and I gotta say, these cis dudes need to calm down, because on the NHL radio, they called what happened last year his troubles, and I'm like, he beat up his wife, why are you calling it troubles? Like, he's a domestic abuser, and I don't give a shit what she said to recant. Like, he did it, and he still did it. So... Again, I just want to remind everybody that hockey is trash.
Hockey is trash. They signed Austin Watson. He was going to be a UFA this year. They signed him for 3 years, 1.5 a year, which isn't bad, but also fuck Austin Watson and get him out of the game. They signed Roman Josi, currently 29 years old, to a contract that kicks in next year when he's 30. 8 years at 9.059 a year.
With a full no move.
Full no move.
Yeah, it's bad. He's like, for and I eight know like years
for a 30-year-old.
That's bad. It's a bad contract. It's not
good. It's the oldest He's the oldest player in the league. He's 32. A miracle. Except he's going to be... Didn't they sign Shea Weber to that really bad contract that he had and then they had to get rid of it?
Yes, they did.
So, congratulations, Montreal. I guess you're going to get Roman Josi in a couple years.
Yeah. Well, the thing was, is when they made that trade, Weber and Subban went for what? They didn't really save any money, but they did... kicked Subban to the curb, what, 2 years later?
2 years later.
Like, I don't know. Whatever. I hate Nashville.
I do as well. You know who I don't hate? Oh, man. I didn't put any notes for Hockey Halloween, and I'm very sad about it. You know who I don't hate? Lauren Bonino, who went as her husband for Halloween.
I also don't hate Lauren Bonino for going out. That was funny.
I do wish Lauren and Nick would show me pictures of their babies again, but I understand that it is private and I respect it. But I miss seeing pictures.
Of two-time Conn Smythe winner Maisie Bonino?
Of two-time Conn Smythe winner Maisie Bonino, who's like, what, like four now?
Correct.
God.
Yeah.
So old. Anyway, yeah, Lauren Bonino went as Nick Bonino. She wore a bald cap. And
I saw. It was amazing.
It was really good. I love it. There were some other pretty good Hockey Halloween. I didn't save any of them. I figured you would be on top of it, and then we just completely forgot about it.
I totally forgot about it. Some of them were really
We're great.
It's fine.
We're really good. Let's see if I can find a couple. Hold on. I'm on the Hockey Wags account.
That's where I was going.
Oh, Patrick Marleau.
God, Dr. Patrick Will Tickle.
And Tina Marleau. Patty went as a doctor, and Tina went as the
Operation Game.
The Operation Game, which is really cute. Alana and Ryan Reeves. Ryan Reeves went as, it looks like, the Muffin Man, and Alana went as somebody whose shirt says, "Yes, I know the Muffin Man."
That's pretty funny. The Price family was very cute. They were, Angela was Ursula, and Carrie was Eric, and then their oldest baby was Ariel, and the other one was a lobster. Logan Couture!
No. I don't. No.
Talk about Logan Couture being a giant baby with a diaper, and his shirt says, "I love my mummy," and then girlfriend is a mummy.
I don't need to know your kinks. Thanks. Yeah. It's like all of the people who dressed as furries. I don't need to know your kinks. Oh my god, Beau Duchesne went as Hedwig.
Yeah, that was pretty cute.
Jason Demers and Jillian Mueller. Jillian Mueller went as Elton John in his fancy Dodgers outfit, and Jason Demers went as the piano, which is great because Alex Goligoski, who went as Freddie Mercury from Live Aid, got to play Jason Demers' piano and sing Bohemian Rhapsody. There were four that I saw. Freddie Mercury's, they all wore the exact same, most boring costume you can wear as Freddie Mercury, one of the most flamboyant men, and it was Austin Matthews, Alex Goligoski, Sam Graves, I think, and Connor Carrick. Lexi Carrick went as Brian May. Morgan Riley went as Brian May, so Morgan Riley, Austin Matthews, couple costume, pretty good. I saw somebody say, "I can't believe Morgan Riley went as Roger May," and I saw somebody else say, "I can't believe Morgan Riley and Austin Matthews went as David Bowie and Freddie Mercury," and then I saw a couple of people say, "I can't believe the Leafs fans went as fictional characters from the worst movie of 2018, which is incredibly wrong on like four levels. The Rust, Brian and Kelsey,
yes,
were Shrek, and Fiona and Zach Aston Reese was Donkey. Jack Eichel and Connor McDavid both went as the Grinch, and their girlfriends both went as Cindy Lou Who. The Flurries went as Cousin It and Wednesday Addams. Barclay Goodrow and his girlfriend went as Walt and Jesse from Breaking Bad.
That's funny. I didn't see that one.
I think Sidney Crosby and his girlfriend Kathy went as Forrest Gump and Jenny.
They did, yeah.
We had more. There was a whole big... I saw plenty of, there were a couple of dodgeball characters. What was there? I saved a picture of the big...
Oh my god, Alex Goligoski's wife went as Guy Fieri.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, it was incredible. The Swedes, the Penguin Swedes went as ABBA.
There was another set of, the Flyers Swedes also went as ABBA.
Jake Ensel went as Jake.
Oh my god, did you see the video of Lauren Bonino as Nick?
No.
Playing hockey?
No.
It's the funniest shit I've ever seen. I'm gonna send this to you on...
Okay.
Okay. It's in, like, you might have to scroll for it, but there is They're on, like, rollerblades.
Okay.
Very funny.
Jake Gensel and when as Jake from State Farm and his girlfriend when as Flo from Progressive. Did I not say it?
Stefan Nason and his wife went as Dick in the Box. They're both dressed up as Dick in the Box.
That's incredible.
So funny.
Tyson Berry and his girlfriend went as the Versace siblings. Mitch Marner and his girlfriend went as Fred and Daphne from Scooby-Doo, and their dog was Scooby-Doo. I can't believe
some of the Hurricanes went as Toothless and the female Toothless, and then two Vikings, which I think is
aww. Great.
Yeah.
Golly goose. Goodness gracious. Oh my god. Oh my god. I love the Beninos.
I know. It's so, isn't that funny?
Yes.
Oh my god. So, Hockey Halloween was really fun.
Hockey Halloween was really fun. We did have, there was a giant picture of the entire, Dominic Cahoon.
Oh, PK Subban went as the New Jersey Devil.
Oh, yeah.
As the mascot.
And his fiance was like, yeah, Gritty, you're right. I can do better. Because there was a sign, Gritty had a sign the other day that was like, you can do better. The Dumoulins went as bees.
Oh, speaking of Gritty.
Wait.
Okay.
Did Alex Galchenyuk go as Spider-Man? Did we decide that?
We don't know.
We don't know, but we think.
Yeah.
That we think he did that.
Yeah. Confirmed that Anna Malkin played Mortal Kombat as a kid, because she made references to Sub-Zero, which he's not, because Sub-Zero wears blue, but whatever. He's the other one. What's his name? Oh my god, what's that character's name? Oh my god, I'm going to have to look it up. He was the one that has the thing that comes out of your hand, and he's like, get over here!
I did not play Mortal Kombat as a kid.
Fuck.
Sorry, you were speaking of Gritty.
Speaking of Gritty, last night, the Leafs were in town, and,
buddy.
Anyway, I'm sorry. The Leafs were in town, and Kyle Bukauskas was there, and, like, Gritty just reached out and, like, started petting Kyle Bukauskas while he was, like, doing his work. And
yeah.
And, like, Kyle was just, like, straight up, like, stone-faced. And then Gritty started spraying him with silly string. And he still complete pro, just, like, going through it as Gritty is, like, torturing him. It's so great. I love
incredible.
Everything about it.
All right, nice.
Yeah.
Cool beans. Cool beans. All right. Did you know, we don't have a lot for Penguins Corner this week because the Penguins only played two games. And one of them was a 7-1 blowout against the Philadelphia Flyers, which means Sidney Crosby, who is a nightmare, now is the second player in franchise history to have 100-plus points against multiple franchises. Because he has 113 points against the New York Islanders. And he went into the game with 99 points against the Philadelphia Flyers and came out with 103 points, or 102 points against the Philadelphia Flyers. He's a nightmare. Yeah. Love him deeply. He wore a jaw protector because he got hit by a puck last Saturday. He got hit by Chris Letang's puck, which I think we mentioned. And he said that it kind of impeded his vision a little bit.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, Jake's goal. I think I should have gotten that one because he's a nightmare. And so he practiced without it, but then he wore it at the beginning of the game yesterday.
Did he take it
and
off?
And then, yeah, he took it off.
Yeah.
Because he didn't get any points. So he ran off to try to see better. Although there was definitely, I did see a gif of him, like, stick handling in the game with the jaw protector on. So if that's when he can't see, we all know he has incredible eyes. See a fucking hummingbird from, like, 500 feet away. God, I hate him so much. Anyway, they played really well yesterday. It was a really good, close game. They also, like, they played really well. They limited the Oilers, like, defense. Like, the only thing that they didn't do was, like, get shots in goal. They got a lot of shots on goal. And I'm very proud of them, and I'm very sad that they didn't win because they deserved both of those points.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's Penguins Corner.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have anything for Penguins Corner. I didn't watch that game because I was driving. Crazy. Why don't you hit me with some stats?
All right. I can hit you with some stats. I have a lot of stats. Last Sunday, which was the last day we recorded, there were 56 goals scored in 7 games, and every single team that won scored at least 5.
Wow.
As of Tuesday, all home teams earned a point, and as of Tuesday, they were 109-56-22 in this young season. Both games on Thursday were multi-goal third period comeback wins. There was a 6-5 and a 5-4. Both of them were OT games, I believe. There were 8 regular season games since the beginning of last season have featured 5-plus game-tying goals, including 2 this season, which was the LA Kings. That's why I keep thinking it's the Lakers, because LAK and I think Lakers first. I don't know why, but I keep wanting to call them the Lakers. Anyway, so the Kings and Edmonton on October 5th and Tampa and New Jersey on October 30th have both featured at least 5-plus game-tying goals in the game, which is fucking nuts. Call it a comeback. There were 9 over the 7 seasons from 2011 to 2018. For the third time in NHL history, 5 players had 11-plus goals in October. The last 2 times this happened was 1981-82 and 1982-83, which are 2 of the top 5 highest scoring seasons in the last 75 years. So, like, scoring, baby. Let's do this. Mother. Fuck. Pasternak and Dreisaitl both have 13 goddamn goals. And then Braden Shin is fucking 6th with 10 goddamn goals. There's so many goals that are happening. Also, 5 players have at least 20-plus points. Now it is 6 players because Elias Pettersson got a point last night. This last happened in 1993-94 when Gretzky led the league to a 130-point season.
Holy frick.
Drysdale was leading at the end of October. Now Pasternak has 27 points. Motherfucker, that's a lot of goddamn points. John Carlson, by the way, is still tied for 3rd at 23 points.
Oh, wow.
Which is nuts because Washington, he's a defenseman.
Washington plays today, too. Washington.
It's the highest... The second highest defenseman is Dougie Hamilton with 16. God damn. Morgan Rielly has 15. All right. So far this season, we are averaging 6.2 goals a game, which is the 3rd straight season that through like 200 games, we've averaged at least 6 goals a game, which is the first time that that's happened in 25 years. Which brings us back to fucking Gretzky. For the first time in 35 years, each of the top 3 picks from the previous draft scored a goal in October, in the opening month of the season. that would be Jack Hughes, Capo Caco, and Kirby Doc. We're all currently playing for their teams. And that's, there have been 13 hat tricks this season and 5 this week.
Holy smokes.
Which is the most we've had so far. On Sunday, Patrice Bergeron in a 7-4 Bruins win over the Rangers. On
Nobody Tuesday, asked you, Patrice.
On Tuesday, Nick Bonino scored the only 3 goals in the Predators-Blackhawks game to get himself a natural Hattie. And then he scored the first goal in the next Predators game. Also on Tuesday, Alexander Radulov scored his fucking hat trick in a come-from-behind win. On Wednesday, Kyle Palmieri scored in a 7-6 OT win, which is the highest scoring game of the season. Oh, no, OT loss. The Devils lost, but the Bolts won. 13 goals.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of goddamn goals.
Yeah, it is. We love a goal.
And and also on Wednesday, Brock Besser scored for the Canucks in a 5-3 win over the Kings. Surprising. Let's see. There were 3 first goals this week. I'm assuming this kid whose last name is spelled R-O-Y is seeing his Wah.
Yeah.
Last Sunday, Nicholas Wah of the Vegas Golden Knights scored against the Ducks in a 5-2 Knights win. He came to Vegas from Carolina in the Eric Halla trade, if you're wondering. On Tuesday, Adam Fox of the New York Rangers scored against the Lightning in a 4-1 Rangers win. And on Friday, former best name in hockey, Hunter Yuki, of the Buffalo Sabres scored against the Caps in a 6-1 Caps win. My poor Sabres are on a 3-game skid, and he scored the only goal. He's a defenseman, and I love him. He came from Blackhawks.
Yes.
So there were also a bunch of hat tricks this season, this week, but there were also 5 shutouts, and 4 of them were yesterday.
Yeah, oh my god. Big save, Dave.
Semyon Varlamov of the Isles against the Sabres, 1-0. Bobrovsky for his first shutout with the Panthers.
Number one cup on the force!
4-0. Big save, Dave, 3-0 over the Blue Jackets. Darcy Kemper of the Coyotes, 3-0 over the Avalanche.
Nice.
And then earlier this week, the Reds Hawks game, Pekka Rinne, 3-0 over the Hawks.
Ew.
Yep. And there were 4 games with over 10 goals, 3 11-goal games, 7-4, 7-4, 6-5 OT, and then 13 goals.
That's wild. 13
goals. 7-6 OT. We've also had a 1-0 shootout win so far this season. It's fucking up and down, man. It's all up and down.
It is all up and down.
I love scoring. I love scoring. In the Penguins game, the 7-1 Penguins game, 7 different people scored. You know what that is?
What?
Depth.
Growth.
Depth.
It is.
Yeah. Also, last night, yesterday, during the, last minute of a tied game, our 4th line was out there against fucking Connor McDavid. That's depth. It was good. They did well. They kept it. They kept the puck away from fucking Connor McDavid.
Jesse Marshall, who writes for The Athletic, tweeted about how the game within the game was going to be Brian Dumoulin against McDavid.
I know. And yeah, Brian Dumoulin scored, and he almost scored again in OT.
That's my kid. I love him so much.
He had an incredible shot in OT.
I've already put my friend that gets to go to a few more Penguins games than I do, I put her on the task of watching out for the Brian Dumoulin Player Cup because I want it real bad.
God, I need it. It's like a visceral need.
Hopefully, maybe when we go in We're gonna 2 weeks.
Him. 2 weeks!
Ah! I'm so genuinely excited for that.
I am as well. Oh my god.
Friendship. Hockey.
I don't know what jersey I'm gonna wear.
I don't know either. I really want to wear a Mageno jersey.
I really want to wear my McCann jersey.
Well.
But also, Hyman is back. We're in the Leafs side, too.
Well, you know.
We can bring our Zach Hyman, who's the cutest boy in the world, jersey in our Penguins, or sign in our Penguins
If he's
jersey.
Back, let's bring it.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll put it in my car right now.
As much as I would love to do standings watch with you, we are way over.
So, we also kind of did standings watch already. So okay, that's fine.
Just wrap it up with the best name in hockey.
Okay. The best name in hockey this week is Thatcher Demko.
Oh.
Of the Vancouver Canucks, whose name I have enjoyed since I saw him play a game for Harvard.
That's amazing.
He is, currently he's the Canucks backup goalie.
Mm-hmm.
He's 23 years old. He was born in 1995 in California. Oh, nice. He's 6'4". He was drafted round 2, 36 overall in 2014. Then I think he played for Harvard. Oh, no, he played for Boston College. Excuse me. And he was on the NTGP. And then he played for Boston College for 3 years. And then he played for the Comets, which is their AHL team. He came up like once in 17-18 and a few different times last year. This year is the first year that he's made the team out of camp. He has played 5 games so far this season. He is 4-1-0 with a .938 save percentage and a 1.78 goals against average, which is very good.
Excellent.
Oh, no, you know this. Like, his first game in the NHL was, like, at .867, and then last year he averaged out to .913, and now he's at .98. He's doing very well. There have been a lot of, like, I had a couple of weeks ago, I was like, yeah, the backups are doing a lot better.
Yeah.
He's one of the backups. And I just really like the name Thatcher Demko, and I have always, it's one of those names you have to say the full name, like Pekka-Rinne.
Yeah.
Thatcher Demko. I think it's an incredible name, and I'm really glad that I went through and I listened to the best name in hockey on every single one of our episodes last week, just to make sure that I hadn't used it yet, because I couldn't believe I hadn't used it yet. And Thatcher Demko is this week. Best name in hockey.
I love that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's perfect. I love that name. He's got a great name, Thatcher.
It's a really good school. Name.
It's like, it's
very I know.
Prep school. If you would like, I'm wrapping it up. So if you would like, you can tweet us at Stick to Tape on Twitter. Our DMs are open if you want to drop us a line. Tell us, I don't know, anything you want us to know. Ask us questions. I would love for you guys to ask us questions.
We should probably ask for people to ask us questions.
Yeah, well, I'll remember it later. We also have an Instagram. It is at Stick to Tape on, or it's Stick to Tape on Instagram too.
We're gonna try to start doing. We're gonna I think on Wednesdays we're gonna start dropping pictures of this week's best name in hockey.
Yeah.
And we also, if you have any longer questions, comments, concerns, or best name in hockey suggestions, you can email it to us at sticktotapepod@gmail.com. If you see any, like, Niels Hoglander was a really good one. Jyrki Jokapaka. Any incredible best names in hockey, please send them to us. And then we'll talk about them on pod. It'll be great.
Yeah.
Don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes.
Please.
And tell all of your friends about your favorite hockey podcast, but only if it's this one.
My friend said that she's been listening to our podcast and it's her favorite hockey podcast.
Good. Make her tell her other friends and not you. You know about it already.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Stick to tape.